advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Hello and welcome to the Sofa King podcast. Here on www.com. You found us.
It's been a long time since we said that.
Yeah, we haven't given our full URL in a while.
Yeah, that's our... If you're looking for us on the web, we are www.com.
I bought that really early.
Yes.
It was early in the days. Yeah. It was expensive.
Yep.
And today we're talking about a listener suggested topic, as we do a lot of the times.
Yes.
And it is Edgar Casey. And Nosferatu. What? Why would you say that on the radio?
Because I cuss on the radio sometimes, so that you can edit it out.
Man, edit it out. So Edgar Casey,
yes,
and Nosferatu
and Nostradamus.
Oh, Nostradamus.
Yeah,
two prophets. They're actually a bunch of different prophets. So we're going to talk about them today, and kind of some of the things that they thought they saw in the future and the past. Interesting things.
You're going to talk about Nostradamus because I don't know anything about him.
Well, that's your problem.
I studied Edgar Casey.
and barely. I thought the topic was Nostradamus and Edgar Casey.
It was a week ago, but then over the course of the week, I think it just became Edgar Casey.
Yeah. That's how far the studying went.
Well, if you talk about Edgar Casey, you have to talk about Nostradamus almost because it's the prelude.
He is the prelude. He's the prequel. And we do want to thank Danny De Niro, who's the one who gave us the Edgar Casey topic, and we're rolling with it. He's kind of a very unique figure in a way, and we'll look at it obviously in the hour to come, but he's kind of like an anti-cult leader in a weird way. It's like he has all the makings of being like some crazy cult leader, but then he like never started a cult.
Agreed.
But we do want to do some shout outs and a couple of things at the top of the show.
Let's do our giveaway first. Let's get that out of the way. Mainly because my shout out list is on that paper in the envelope. So I don't
Okay.
So I don't have that. So what happened was we did a local. This is gonna be local. And we're gonna do a worldwide one giveaway, a basket, but because we had some local companies in our basket.
Let's call it a crate. It's a crate.
It is a crate. It's a wooden crate.
Basket because Brent made it. It's a basket.
Well, crate is...
It is really a crate.
It's more masculine.
So we have shirts, El Yucateco hot sauce, just Sofa King stickers, all kinds of stickers.
Free floats from Salt 7.
Escape room tickets for Real Escape Bakersfield. Peanut butter from the Hen's Roost. And it looks, that stuff looks so good. I think I had a dream about it last night with peanut butter and milk. It has milk chocolate in it.
The crazy thing about my peanut butter dreams is I wake up and there's a spoon in my hand. It's real.
So mine didn't go that far, but
and I'm in
so we have the drawing and it has just a ton of stuff in it. And, we said, you know, in the past week and a half now or 2 weeks, it's been about a week, huh?
Yeah,
I don't even remember. So we said, you know, join our mailing list. If you're local, we're going to pick a winner. And
it has to be local because two of the prizes would be useless to you. Yep. The biggest part of the prize.
And so, like I said, we're going to do a worldwide one for everybody here shortly. But this is what it's came down to. So the winner.
A dude passerby, some random person picked the number and we don't even know what number that is.
Dude passerby did pick the number and we don't know
Know who that is.
No.
Don't talk about that person.
Oh, sorry.
So here we go. I don't know who the winner is.
The number that was picked was
number 14. That was the number that was picked, and that is Chad Thornton.
Okay. I've heard that name.
Yes, and I know Chad. He listens to the show. Obviously, he entered his email address into our mailing list. So, Chad, you will be receiving the crate.
There you go.
Congratulations. Yay! Sound effects. Sound effects. Cool. All right. Shout outs real quick, and then we can get on to. okay. I need to do.
Dave's pulling the Family Guy. Just keep doing it till someone laughs.
All right.
Let me give a special pre shout out before the regular shout outs. I've been meaning to do. I meant to do this last week and I forgot. A gal I know named Alexandra Caswell. I'm gonna get real for a minute. Alexandra Caswell. She works at a farm sanctuary. Halfway between Bakersfield and LA, like rescuing farm animals and letting them live their life out and so forth. Great person. Unfortunately, she recently got diagnosed with breast cancer and she doesn't have health insurance that's covering most of what she's doing. So she's on a crowdfunding source called youcaring.com. And she's trying to raise money just so she can get her treatments. And I wanted to kind of plug it. If you guys can give anything at all, if you can log in and give $1, yeah, you can give $5. If you can give $1,000, which would be even more awesome. That'd be 1,000 times more awesome than $1. but her name is Alexandra Caswell, C-A-S-W-E-L-L. The website is youcaring.com. She's already got $10,000 raised out of her $15,000 goal. She's hoping to actually go beyond, like, $15,000 is the base care she has to get.
Yeah.
She's hoping to get a little bit more than that to get some sort of extended care, et cetera. So she's getting really close. She really needs it. Like, life is on the line status. So if you go to youcaring.com, track down Alexandra Caswell. If you can't find the link or if you can't find her, I will put it up on the Sofa King website. So it should be up. So if you guys can log in, give anything at all, it would be appreciated. That's my own.
Yeah, opinion. we can push it on Facebook.
Yeah, we will.
So, and hopefully she raises the money she needs.
Yes.
That's a good cause. So,
so you got a shout out? Or you want me to shout out?
Go ahead.
So I got some Instagram people that have participated this week. Chris9Virtues_. He actually has a podcast, apparently. The Zen of Gentlemen. I have not listened to it. I like the name, but he's been participating on Instagram. Tyler Barbell Lifted chimed in this week. Barry of Be Wise Fitness, AV Buyer, Josh Fitzpatrick, and Perry McHugh. And then also last night I went to Joey Diaz comedy, which was hilarious, and I got to meet him, and I posted that picture up on at Sofa King Brent. But I really wanted to point out, because he got kind of overshadowed by Joey Diaz, obviously, is Agostino Zoida, who was the comedian that
went on. Quite a name.
Yeah, I might have butchered that, but Agostino Zoida, met the guy, super nice. I had a few drinks of me. I don't remember it really good, but I remember, he was really nice to me, and I took a picture with him too. I'll post that out. But he has a podcast called The Parishioners Podcast, and his stand-up was fabulous. Like, I went to a local brewery to watch it, and there was two guys before him, which, kudos for getting up there, but I didn't laugh until this guy got on stage. That guy got on stage, hilarious. Yeah. I won't give away his bits because
stand-up comedy's hard, man. That's
rough, man. Yeah. That's a rough business.
And those guys,
I'll never be able to. I stand behind this microphone scared in basement. There's no way I'm getting.
You really should see Brent like trying to warm up for the show, looking for his notes that are right in front of him. I mean, it is awesome.
I'm losing things I have.
Yeah, it is fabulous.
So Agostino Zoida, check him out.
So, and then I'll shout out my shout outs for Friday's episode. So,
okay. So we're moving on.
Yeah.
Get psychic.
Yep.
The sleeping prophet.
Yep.
The sleeping prophet. The
sleeping prophet.
So
did we all just say that?
We did all just say that. If we say it three times, we'll summon him.
Ooh.
That'd be kind of cool.
Cause I got questions.
I do. You know too. What I mean? So the thing about Edgar Cayce is I will confess I've known about Edgar Cayce my entire life. My mom was a New Ager and a Wiccan and kind of a crystal healing sort of a weirdo woman. Was friends with witches from Detroit and very strange.
Damn, witches from Detroit.
Straight up.
Those are straight up witches.
I met a witch named Cersei in Detroit. I hid in her basement during a tornado.
Stop what you're doing and tell the basement tornado story.
I was a kid. We went to Detroit. There was a big tornado. It hit town and we had to hide in the basement because that's what you do when a tornado hits. And the storms raged all night. So we decided to just stay the night. So we stayed the night in this creepy basement that a witch, like a practicing witch in her creepy old witch home, and she did readings and stuff upstairs, but the basement was full of strange witchery and weirdness, and we stayed the night during a tornado.
Leg of toad.
You know, and I mean, I recall walls lined with jars.
Right.
That was very creepy to me because mom said that she was a witch. But when I really think about it, it was probably like peach preserves and like, yeah. You know, I mean, it was probably just
that sentence though. You know, stayed in a witch's basement in Detroit during a tornado is
so kind of creepy. What was in the basement? That's what I want to know. Like Dave was weird things in the basement.
I remember a couple of couches. I remember a lot of Frank Sinatra albums. There wasn't much else going on.
Frank Sinatra is awesome.
We had like a hand crank, like because the power was out, so you would just kind of crank it and listen to Frank Sinatra and just lots of jars. I don't know.
No story does that justice. Listening to Frank Sinatra with peach preserves in a witch's basement in Detroit while a tornado comes over.
That's
and powers
correct.
Out.
But so my mom knew all about Edgar Casey, and she'd mention him from time to time. I knew he was supposedly like a psychic that made predictions. But what I didn't know is like really the entire New Age movement. Like if you think of like what a New Age person or what a Wiccan or whatever believes in, a Wiccan is going to be slightly different at the root cause of it. But like the whole New Age movement that was huge in like the 90s with Shirley MacLaine and that whole thing. It's like osteopathy and homeopathy and crystals and like aura readings, reincarnation, past life regression, like the energy of crystals and ley lines in the earth and all this stuff. Like all of it came from Edgar Casey. Like this was his thing.
I mean, well, I didn't know that. In like like ancient times, I'm sure they had some of this weird wizardry going on.
Well, they did, but he's the one who brought all of this together as this thing. Okay. So like all of the New Agers were really big Edgar Casey. I mean, all of these things existed,
right.
But he brought them all together in a specific sort of worldview and like made it sort of famous because of what he did.
Yeah, and he actually got sick and went to a homeopathic. Is that what it's called? A homeopathic doctor?
Yeah.
Sounds offensive, right?
Yeah. So like he liked the holistic type things. Like, right. So he went to a homeopathic doctor and prescribed himself with his own treatment.
Yeah. He got hit in the spine with a baseball and they said started acting strange, went to sleep, woke up with some kind of remedy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then cured himself of baseball spine, which might just be.
That's a real thing. You ever got hit in the back of the baseball?
I presume it was like cake dye, baking soda and vinegar. And it looked really magic.
Well, I was actually talking about when he had chronic laryngitis and he couldn't talk.
Yeah, that's the hypnotist thing, the crazy hypnotherapy.
But yeah, it's all part of it, though. Right. You know, like he had severe laryngitis that he caught, and it was actually it sucked because he was fairly poor. He had an eighth grade education. His parents were farmers, and he couldn't really get work anywhere. And after a couple of years of struggling, he finally got a job selling insurance for an insurance company. He was finally going to turn things around for himself and like be able to make some money. And shortly after he got the job, he got like this severe case of laryngitis and he couldn't speak for like a year.
Yeah, he had to live with his parents.
Kind of hard to sell insurance when you can. Right. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to sell you an insurance box.
unless all your clients are Italian.
Oh, maybe. Yeah then you just got to make the gestures.
Yeah,
spaghetti. Yeah. So, but at that point, nothing was helping. No conventional medicine. And supposedly he went to a series of hypnotists. A hypnotist came to town. I'm trying to find his name because it's really freaking awesome. A guy named Hart, who called himself the Laughing Man, came to town and tried to hypnotize him, and it didn't work.
Because he couldn't do the third stage.
He couldn't do the third stage, but this guy didn't know that. The Laughing Man didn't know that. He had to get his colleague, whose name, my hand to God, was Dr. Quackenboss.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, man. Come on.
So Dr. Quackenboss shows up.
I didn't see any of this. Like, this is all new to me.
Dr. Quackenboss.
You got to pause for just one sec, because you skipped, like, some crazy part in childhood. So,
we skipped a good chunk of stuff. I was just going to get to this.
We're getting back.
But just dealing with this holistic thing. So this Dr. Quackenboss from New York, and I don't know if I hope more that that's his stage name or if I hope more that that's his real name.
I'm going to make cookies named after that guy. It's
Would you like a Quackenboss?
Yeah, Dr. Quackenboss.
I just picture, I'm Dr. Quackenboss.
Or crackers. Dr. Quackenboss crackers.
Dr. Quackenboss is not, I can't picture him. I'm going to count back from 10. again. You're going to fall asleep.
See? Dave's in a mood today. Oh, my awesome. God. This is going to be a good one.
So anyway, Dr. Quackenboss realizes that he can't reach the third and final state of hypnosis, and he goes through more hypnosis and does and learns a lot about hypnosis himself and this hypnosis thing.
But during the trance of hypnosis, his voice is fine, which is notable.
Yeah, like, when he would go into hypnosis, works. His voice was fine.
Yeah.
And when he was out, it
they just couldn't
be.
Lock it down. They couldn't right. finalize the CD right. when it was done.
They couldn't, yet. Like, when you wake up, when you wake up, you're going to be a chicken. they couldn't get to that stage,
all, nope.
even with Dr. Quackenboss's mighty powers. But anyway, so that taught him that hypnosis and all these things might be ways that you could heal things. And I know a lot of people, a lot of skeptics just say this is pure quackery and all it's going to do is get people killed instead of help them. But this whole thing is one of many things that led, Edgar Cayce to like a life of wanting to heal people. And he thought that his methods and his bizarre connections to the other world and his hypnosis was able to heal people meaningfully, and this was really what he set out to do. And that's why at the beginning of the show I said he's sort of like an anti-cultist, because everybody else would have been like, and then I'll make $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, he just never went to that step.
Yeah, I was really impressed. He was poor, like mm-hmm. pretty much the whole time mm-hmm. he even knew he had these abilities. He was poor, and we will actually, I'm sure, get into it, the migraines and stuff he got when he started doing stuff that was kind of unsavory to his flavor, I guess
right.
you could say.
Yeah.
Unsavory to his flavor.
You know what I'm saying?
Dirty deeds done dirty.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty interesting. I had honestly never heard of Edgar Cayce before going into this. We saw the thing. We talked about it, we were going to talk
he
about
He comes
him.
Up a lot, like when you look in like pyramids, the Sphinx, there's some weird stuff
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, Atlantis. He's all over it.
Yeah, I honestly have never heard of him. I may have heard his name or something, but I've sure. never
He's
looked
so
into
eclectic.
Him.
Like, he covers such a broad base. It's like Nostradamus would like predict things to the future or whatever, but he does things like someone mail him a letter with just their name and address
yeah.
on it and him try to diagnose it from afar.
Yeah.
Like, so, that's the weirdest thing. Like,
and
who
his,
does that?
And the thing, so again, let's backtrack to the thing that right. you were talking about. So when he was, I think 12. I saw one that said 10, but then I saw one that said 12.
At age 10, he went to church for the first time, and by the age 12, he had read the Bible a dozen times, I think.
Well, this is – I saw that he could actually sleep on a book and know the whole book.
Yeah, this was all part of it.
Yeah,
because at age 12, this is what he claims, and this is what all the biographers and everything of him claim. He was studying spelling for school – and he wasn't doing very well, and his father potentially roughed him up from some of the readings that I did.
Yeah, like, the way I read it, it was like his dad was like yelling at him and yeah. scolding him, and like sounded like he knocked him out of the chair.
As right. being a father,
yeah. and he was forcing him to sit at the table and study all night
right.
to learn the spelling. And
so
he
fell asleep on the paper.
Well, he asked for permission to sleep, and his dad said, "You can sleep for a little bit, but you're sleeping at the table on the book."
Because he said the thing is, we're gonna have to like fade into break and say it right.
That's right.
Yeah, he heard a voice that he had heard from a prior vision.
Yeah, several days. That's right. Several yeah. days before, he saw a woman with wings who,
while he was reading a Bible in his hut in the woods.
Yeah, a Bible in a hut.
Because, you know, you got
woods.
A hut in the
yeah,
woods.
Yeah, you got your Bible hut.
I got one of those.
I got Pizza Hut.
So he went out to the Bible hut, and a woman with wings showed up and asked him and gave him wisdom and asked him what he wanted to do. And he said that he wanted to dedicate his life to healing the poor.
Yeah, to helping others, especially sick children and the poor. Yeah.
Right. And this is sort of what it came down to from the angel in the Bible hut. So we'll talk more about what the angel said to him momentarily.
This is the world-famous Sofa King Podcast. Stay tuned and listen to more awesome words.
Welcome back to the Sofa King Podcast, and we're here talking about Edgar Cayce today, the sleeping prophet.
Yes.
Dave was just talking about how he went to his hut in the woods while reading his Bible, talking to an angel, giving him wisdom. I was kind of thinking the wisdom was something else, but you know.
You think he was whacking hut?
Ooh.
Was whacking hut?
Man, I don't know.
A Bible?
Could you like masturbate to a Bible? I don't know.
Ooh.
If you're that religious,
somebody
like, is that what you do?
Somebody does. There's a website for
like
it.
Like the fat chick masturbating with barbecue sauce?
I know nothing of that. And
technically, I don't think you violated any FCC thing on the radio, but I'm surprisingly uncomfortable. I think somehow a rule was broken.
Maybe. Yeah. That's what I do.
A rule of common sense.
Yeah. So let's talk about this angel of wisdom.
So you had more to say about the angel
of wisdom? Well, yeah. So he has this vision in the hut while he's reading the Bible. She comes to him and says, Your prayers are answered, and what do you want to do with your life? And he says he wants to dedicate it to people, which I don't know. It sounds kind of corny that he said that. But back in the day before cheeseburgers and Netflix, you read Bibles in the forest hut. So right. That's the kind of stuff that happens. And maybe you're more in touch with stuff because of the lack of sensory and information. I don't know that people used to have.
And this is 1899. So yeah. At this age, like when he was that age, it was 1899. So
I wonder if there's just a lot of folklore of hearsay of seeing angels in the forest and stuff. And that was like the thing, you know?
Well, even the thing is though, even before that, like because he grew up on a farm, he was one of six siblings, and he was like known for not playing with the other siblings because he would just like run into the woods all day where he would play with the little folk.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he would have long conversations with his grandfather.
And he said if he looked at them hard enough, he could see through them.
He could see through the little folk and he would have long conversations with his grandfather in the woods. And his grandfather was dead.
Yeah. Yes, he drowned in a lake. And there was reports where he saw him all over the farm. Like they lived on a farm. Mm-hmm. And throughout growing up, he constantly saw his grandpa.
So. Did he know his grandpa prior to that?
Yeah, so, I think so. Yeah, he drowned. But the crazy thing is, like, you think about this, like you think about the angel and you think about seeing his grandpa and the little folk and all this stuff, him out in the whacking hut, you know, like that sounds like complete BS. Like, but then you start looking at his works and his prophecies and the things that he's done. It's crazy. Like you kind of question, you know, like,
yeah, some of his stuff is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So dad's beating him at the table, trying to make him learn his spelling words. And the reason I want to jump back to make sure we reference the angel is he heard the voice of the lady he had heard in the hut. Mm-hmm. And she said to him, if you can just rest for a while, we can help you. And so he begged his dad, can I just take a break and rest? Can I just take a break? So his dad lets him take a nap, leaves the room
on the paper.
Yeah. Comes back. He wakes him up. He knows every word. And in fact, he knows the entire book front and back. So his dad then gets mad because he gets in trouble again.
He
now
messing
he thinks
with
his dad's messing around. He already thought the kid was messing around and he gets in trouble for faking it before.
Right. Right.
But then
Why are you faking like you're retarded?
Yeah. So, and that was all based off of a complaint from the teacher that his study habits were poor or something, which prompted the dad to get angry. So then once he does that, he figures out what Brad said. He could do that with all books. He could just like take a nap on the book and know the book.
Supposedly.
That's so awesome.
Supposedly he would lay down on books and take a nap and he would, and this is why they called him the sleeping prophet, because all the trances that he would go into, all the information that he would give to people, he would lay down and he would go into this sleep-like trance. And when he would come out of it, he would have knowledge.
You know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to do page 61 on Chama. I'm going to put it under my pillow. I'm going to sleep on Dave's book. I'm going to wake up, come back here and shake your hand, take a job well done.
Yeah. Yeah. And no, I kind of find this kind of weird though. Like he was able to sleep on books and memorize entire books, but when he would go into his sleep to say you had a question for him and you wrote it down, and as long as he knew where you were at in the world, you didn't have to be by him. As long as he knew where you were at in the world, he could tell you what was wrong with you or whatever question you had, you know, if the stock market was going to crash or whatever.
You think you get pissed? He's like, it's just a cold. Why do they bother me?
Yeah. Well, the thing is though, like
drink some tea.
From what I read, he didn't know what he said. So like if he said something, he didn't
he
know.
Would try to go into the trance and he would announce the connection by saying, we have the body.
Yes. That's what he would always say.
What a weird,
there was always this plural thing in the hypnotists were the first ones that noticed it, is whenever they would get him into a hypnotic state, instead of saying I, he would instantly only ever say we and us. He wouldn't say I.
Yeah.
I think he had multiple personality disorder and separation. Yeah.
There was something. I mean, you know, obviously looking at this with a skeptic's lens, if all of these things supposedly happened when he was a kid, I mean, there's something going on.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably wasn't looking at little folk in the woods. He thought he saw little folk in the woods, or he was just lying. I mean, you know.
Yeah. One of the weird things about it is, though, is that he said later in his years after doing this for however long he did. I mean, he did it his pretty much his whole 45 life.
45 years or something.
Yeah, like that, but he found it in his 20s. You know what I mean? Like, but well, he lived until he was 70 something.
He did it in his childhood. And then there was like a period until he got married or something that kind of went away. After he cured baseball spine, there was a.
But he said that we all have this ability.
Right.
Everybody that's living has this ability.
I'm like, sleeping on a book tonight for sure. I'm totally sleeping on a book.
You're going crazy.
His father was once quoted as saying he's the greatest fellow in the world when he's asleep.
The other thing,
which is kind of like,
well, his dad was still mad at him about the spelling words. Like, he's still pissed.
Because to me, it's like you hear that and you're like, oh, that's kind of sweet. And it's like, well, it's also kind of a diss.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you think of your son? Greatest kid in the world when he's asleep.
Don't all parents say that about like babies? Like, exactly. Man, my kid's so good if he just stay asleep.
Dave just brought back diss too.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
He's old. Yeah. Dave's old school.
He's old and black. Old, he can say that. He dusted that one off.
Yeah.
I always drop diss.
Man, these fools be dissing us. I'm going to drop me a battle rap.
That's whack.
Diss.
We're bringing it back.
Me. Yeah, that's whack.
That girl is like fly. I'm keeping it real.
Yeah.
So then he does all that thing, gets the hypnotic cures with Dr. Quackenboss.
I'm going to cut that track up. Oh, make a whole auto-tune song.
Yeah, we're doing that.
But then he starts working again. He starts doing different things to make money. He suddenly gets famous because after this hypnosis thing, he can start to allegedly, he can start to cure people. And I mean, it could be 100% placebo that he's doing. It could, I mean, who knows? But he does start to gain fame.
Well, there was legitimate
newspapers start to cover.
It's because they just had a cold, and there was going to go away. Well, anyway. Right.
There was legitimate statements by scientists and doctors that said, like, this man is. I mean, they pretty much called him an idiot. Like, they said he didn't know how to spell and read and all this stuff. Like, they literally, without saying it, called him dumb, and then said, but when he's asleep, he somehow knows more than any other doctor or scientist on the planet without knowing any of the
knowledge
tools
of like plate tectonics.
Yeah.
Like talking about the shift of the polar axis.
Yeah. He had no knowledge of medicine or science.
They say
as when he was awake.
No, like what you just said, like in 1936, he discussed theories of plate tectonics and magnetic pole shifts that weren't really concrete or discovered fully until Dr. Peter Olson from Johns Hopkins University basically said the same exact thing in the year 2000.
Right.
Like, there's regular cases of him saying this stuff, and it's like, what? And like, 70 years later, scientists are like, oh, we discovered this thing. And they're like, oh, yeah, Edgar Cayce said that like in 36.
Well, and man, if you talk about the tectonic plate shifting and the shifting of the poles, that's kind of scary. Like
that's
it's going to change
like Noah's Ark. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's going to change the way they said like the whole East Coast is going to be gone. He says this in his
Japan.
You can read this. Like he is the most documented prophet. He has 14,000 and something readings, and they are all documented in
because they were all documented by stenographers as he was doing the readings. They're all
They created that. It's the Association for Research in Enlightenment.
Yeah.
And there's 14,306 archived and cataloged predictions or statements by Edgar Cayce. So they that's the crazy thing is like there's other people that might, you know, some TV show psychic guys that have come and go, but that it's the astounding like amount of predictions that he made. That's like the math is 2 predictions per day for 45 years.
Well, and that was his limit, was one in the morning, one in the evening, because they were so
it was taxing
draining
on him. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And during the World War, was it World War II?
Yeah.
He started getting letters.
Predicted. He predicted the war.
He predicted the war, and then he started getting letters from all these people, you know, asking about their loved ones, and he was doing up to 7 a day, and it really, really put a drain on him. But you know what was funny? He predicted the Depression.
Yep.
But then, I thought this was kind of weird. He opened up a hospital in Florida during the Depression, and then it went under. Like,
didn't see that coming.
You know it was
the
Depression.
The thing is, though, because it was a guy named Morton Blumenthal who had 468 readings from him.
Yeah.
And he was wealthy. He was a stockbroker.
Yeah, he's one of the guys that ruined him.
Well, no, he's the one who paid. he funded the hospital.
Yeah.
So he built this Casey hospital that was going to be used to, you know, instead of having to, you know,
he was going
to
help off, people.
You could go there and help people and so forth. But then Blumenthal lost his shirt in the stock market crash. So
he told him that it was happening.
Well, like, but yeah, well, no, A, he told him it was happening. And B, I also read some things about Casey, and he said that, he was like, people were asking him, like, as soon as it became common knowledge that he was able to do these things, like, people asked him about the, like, cotton trading.
Yeah.
Right. People asked him about horse races. People asked him about, you know, specific sporting events, the stock market. And he said that when he tried to do it, like, when he would try to go in trances looking for information that would help yield money, that he said that he even experimented with it himself, and his end results were exactly the same statistically as anyone making a guess.
Yeah.
And that it was extra taxing and made him sick, so he didn't.
Yeah, like it got fuzzy is what I understood. Like, things got real weird for him, and he just started not doing it because it was hurting him.
Which, again, the skeptic side therefore argues he was unable to ever predict anything. And when you actually called him to task and said, who's going to win this horse race, and he can't do it, it's because he was a fraud in the first place and no one can predict
it. The thing is, though, with these predictions is they're not set in stone. Like, all these predictions throughout history from all these different prophets are not set in stone. Like, things can happen and change the way that the world works, and then those things won't happen. The alignment isn't lined up the same.
The mere fact that he predicted it is the butterfly effect and changes it.
Yeah, so, I mean, the thing is, like, he predicted the World War, you know, the Nazis rising to power, but also Nostradamus did the same thing, didn't he? He pretty much
potentially
the Nostradamus ones are so cryptic and like translated.
But that's one thing. If you're looking at these, if you take it with a grain of salt and you say, well, everything is so vague that it's like, if you just said this and put it out there, like in the year 2020, this is going to happen, you can kind of connect it with something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Edgar Casey said in the year 2001 is going to be a bad year. You know what I mean? Like, what happened? The towers, you know what I mean? Twin Towers, 9/11.
Yeah, it's kind of vague. Yeah.
It's very vague. Yeah. And
you probably could pick something bad from any year.
Exactly. So, like, that's one of the
things. Didn't just say that 2001 was a bad year. He said that 2001 was the starting of an entire new age.
Yes.
Like, 2000, it wasn't just like this is a random bad year. He was like, yeah, 2000 is like the beginning of this crazy shift that's going to happen to humanity. It wasn't just like he picked a bunch of them. It was like, no, that was the year for him.
At least, Thomas got kind of weird. Like, he said Hister instead of Hitler. Like, some really like
loser.
Close. He said White House or something. Yeah. Like,
nice try.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, when you're living in the year 1400 and Hitler,
no credit.
And the child of Germany, you know, the child of Germany and Hitler,
loser, like,
pretty good. You know, you got to give him that. So
slight loss in translation.
Yeah.
Dave's giving no credit to Thomas.
Well, the funny thing is all these different prophets, like their end of days, like predictions are all kind of similar, you know, like the world's basically going to go and it's going to, you know what I mean? We're going to get hot and everything's going to get, and then it's going to be frozen over again, you know, or water's going to come.
I think that's just what happens with those types
of doomsday. It's the cycle. That's right. What the thing is. It's the cycle of the earth. History has a way of repeating itself, right? You always hear that, you know, history repeats itself. And so basically if you go off of something that's happened in the past, you could claim that there's going to be a World War III. Because probably it's going to happen, you know, like you could claim that.
Well, that and what I was going to say is just that you have to come up with something where the earth gets flooded. Like, if you're going to pick a doomsday thing, it's all going to be like, oh, he said that and he said that and he said that. Yeah, well, a meteor has to hit us to kill us all. Or, yeah, it has to tilt and all the oceans have to. You have to come up with that similar catastrophic event because that's what it requires to kill the population. Yeah. So.
And the thing is, like, St. Malachy, which is one of the guys I was telling you guys about before we started this, St. Malachy was from 1094 to 1148. I'm right. Yeah. 1094 to 1148 is when he lived. Mm-hmm. And he pronounced, what he thought was going to be the Pope for every single Pope for 111 Popes. And then there was going to be 112 Pope, which he didn't name. And he gave them names and pretty much it's lined up through every single pope, and I think we're on the last pope right now.
They just went off the list. That's what's up.
Yeah, so
they're just
maybe. Yeah, they're like, keep pronouncing this guy.
We need a John.
Yeah, who has the flowers on flowers? There. Oh, he wears lilies on lilies. Let's get this guy.
Yeah,
you know,
let's get that guy.
Yeah, it makes sense. So yeah, but I mean, those things are interesting though. Like, how, what type of extra knowledge did they have to be like, oh, just throw that stuff out there? And because you put that idea out there in the world, you can link it.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know. That's it's.
And I will. To be honest, I mean, a long time ago, we did a prepper episode talking about prepper stuff. And I have to be honest, I when I really started to think about it and I was reading some of his predictions, I realized that Edgar Cayce is largely one of the reasons I'm kind of a prepper right now, because my mom grew up right. believing in the things that this guy said, and I never really knew much or studied it, but she always said, like, you know, well, in his prophecies, he says that, you know, starting around the year 2000, there's going to be this big shift in the earth. California is going to fall. California is going to break off into the ocean, which is one of the things he said. New York City is going to vanish from the surface of the earth. So is Japan.
Yeah, Japan.
Like, all this stuff,
yeah.
Like, volcanoes are going to go super active, all this stuff. So, like, my whole childhood, like, I'm being raised like freaking John Connor, like, yeah. waiting for the world to end.
Yeah.
How far into California is this? Like, how far?
Well, what's going to happen though is that with the polar shift, the water is going to move, and the whole ocean floor is going to move. So the water is going to be different. So basically, like, it'll just rise.
It's like carrying a fishbowl.
Yeah, it's not necessarily that California is going to fall off. It's just going to shift, you know, and everything's going to be moved and different. So that's kind of, that can happen though, if you think about that, and you think about the plates and the
shark
tooth
mountain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shark's teeth on the top of a mountain.
It's just, and that's the question. It's like, I mean, there's definite evidence that the magnetic pole is moving and has and will again.
And we've had more activity in the tectonic plates than we've had in a long time. Like,
the question is, and what some people worry about is that if magnetic north, like if the field swapped all of a sudden, would the entire planet rotate rapidly in some different direction? Because
I've heard that the rotation can come to a slow halt and reverse or something.
Right. So if something like that happened, then it was sudden and it was harsh, then it would kind of be the end of civilization as we know.
Pretty much, because they have found like hundreds of woolly mammoths that were frozen within 11 minutes, and they can tell because when they thaw them out, the grass in their stomach is still completely undigested. Yeah, right, they're like, this happened quick, and it happened to hundreds of them. So some catastrophic craziness. They can tell that
it's just in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, the equator.
And he said
the equator
that too,
in the twinkle
of an eye or something like that. Like, he said
weather,
that.
Yeah, the weather in Europe or something was going to drastically change in the twinkle of an eye.
Yeah, and so like that's one of those things. Like, if you look at history, which the woolly mammoth type thing, that happens, you know, so he doesn't give a date on it or anything though. It's just, he just says it's going to happen.
Right.
Which all this, everything we're doing, him saying that, if we all die, it's not going to matter. Like, there's nothing we can do about it.
No,
it's just going to happen.
But the other thing is though,
you could try to move centrally into the United States and sort of guide it.
And this is one that, you know, my mom could have thrown at me, which is that after California breaks off and New York is destroyed, et cetera, like the ultimate prediction of Edgar Cayce is that humanity will reach an era post wealth and post struggle and live in like this golden realm of utopia where technology is amazing and all this stuff. And it's like, that would have been a better piece of punctuation for that story as a little kid than California falling off the ocean.
Yeah. And don't move to California.
Yeah.
And why did you move here? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I just kind of wanted to be in the,
you wanted to be in the ocean.
Yeah. Well, I am in Bakersfield, so I'm on the safe side of the mountain, you know, LA will be beachfront. So I'm just planning ahead.
Yeah. Too bad Fukushima.
Oceanfront property.
And San Diego reactors.
The oceanfront property in Arizona song.
Yeah.
That's where that comes from.
George Strait.
Separate yourself from the morons. Listen to more on SofaKingPodcast.com. Stay tuned through the break.
I've got oceanfront property in Arizona. It's my new jam.
That was a good jam.
I'm going to start looking at George Strait songs and seeing if I can turn them into prophecies.
Nice. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think we could do it.
I think we could do it. I think if you stretch hard enough, you can make just about anybody's lyrics be prophecies.
Matter of fact, he talks about Atlantis in one of his songs.
He's a fireman. He's running all over town putting out flames.
Where the sidewalk ends and the road begins. See, that's the end of the world right there.
That is the end of the world.
Man.
We just started
George Strait prophecies. He is a new age prophet. I mean, people just missed it.
People didn't know it.
Oh, man. That's going to be funny. You just take a George Strait song title.
I do like that.
And make it a conspiracy. We'll start that game.
I do like that movie, though. What was that movie that he was in?
Where the sidewalk ends thing.
Yeah. Like that song just grabs my heart. Just makes me feel all warm and gooey inside.
I don't know.
I'd actually sleep with George Strait if he wanted to. I mean, not in a gay way. Like, you know, if he wanted it, I would do it.
I think my mom did. Maybe. She used to wait in line for like 4 days for George Strait tickets. They would like pay like homeless people to camp out and then show up and get tickets.
This is it. This is why you're so crazy.
So you're the son of the prophet.
You're the son of the prophet. Your dad, George Strait, is a prophet.
Wow.
I'm trying to look at the song titles that might work. The Cowboy Rides Away.
So let's talk about Atlantis, because that's one of the crazier.
Well, let's finish with his regular predictions.
No, skip those. We can talk about his. Okay, what else did he do?
Because we mentioned some predictions. Let me throw a little bit more. One other side note before predictions, though, is he invented a game that he sold to Parker Brothers. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
Like when he was still really poor, one of the things, like right after the laryngitis stuff, one of the things that put money on his table is he invented a card/board game called Pit. And it was a game where you played as if you were a commodities trader at the Chicago Board of Trade. It was designed to be like this fast action. You're like throwing cards at each other and like suddenly cotton went up 8 cents and you have to buy and sell and all this crazy stuff. Apparently there's still versions of it that are sold to this day.
Nerds.
Under different names.
We should probably get one.
It's Parker. Oh, the original one was called Pit.
The original one.
And it was completely designed by Edgar Cayce. So Brian Ross, if you're listening, if Edgar Cayce can do it, you can do it. Keep hitting your games.
Oh no, they have a legit remade Pit corner of the stock market family fun. I don't understand where that even comes in.
And it all came out of him with his experiments to gain from his predictive abilities and not being able to do it. So he got to know the markets fairly well.
Wow.
And that was when he came up with his game.
1973.
I got you.
It's right here.
I got 1940s Parker Brothers Pit. $9.99 on eBay. Yeah, that's
probably got to buy that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here it is right here.
So Pit from Edgar Cayce is a thrilling game of commodities trading in Chicago.
It's only worth from 1919. I found an edition of it for $19.
That's crazy.
That's sad.
Yeah, because I mean, it sucked, frankly.
Yeah,
I mean, if it was a hot game, like
if you found a Monopoly from 1919, I promise you, it's cost more than.
How much are Ouija boards? Like 30 bucks at least. That's
at Walmart, and that's a cheap place.
That's way funner.
So some of his predictions, we mentioned briefly that he did stock market predictions, and the two specific ones that I found evidence of, one was in February of 1925. He gave a prediction to some guy that this guy would come into wealth within a certain time frame, and that guy did come into wealth within that certain time frame. And then he said to become aware of adverse financial forces that were going to come in 1929. So in 1925, he said, you know, invest wisely and make sure you have some money out of the markets because there's going to be some bad stuff coming in 1929. So again, and I want to be skeptical, right? I want to look at this and think, well, if the stock, because the stock market was doing pretty crazy stuff before the crash.
It might have been an intuitive prediction.
Right. It wouldn't be too hard to be like, oh, the stock market's about to crash because everything's going crazy. But 4 years out, that's a little bit more astounding. And then you give a specific year, you know. So again, there's enough things like this in his statements, which is why I think people still give him credence, because plenty of it is bunk, plenty of it is coincidence and, you know, looking into it and hoping to find things.
I guess
confirmation
you throw 14,000 noodles on the wall, some of them are going to stick.
Right. Like, but he has a lot of them that did have merit. And then he also told in March of 1929, he was giving a New York stockbroker readings 6 months before the crash. And Cayce told him to be cautious because a major break was coming in the markets very, very soon. And told him to watch out. With World War II, He said in 1935, this is a quote, this will make, he was talking about this conflict that's going to erupt in Europe. This is in 1935. This will make for the taking of sides, as it were, by various groups or countries or governments. This will be indicated by the Austrians, Germans, and later the Japanese joining in their influence, unseen and gradually growing to those affairs where there must become, as it were, almost a direct opposition to that which has been the theme of the Nazis, for these will gradually make for a growing of animosities. So he predicted the and again, maybe that's not creepy. Well, maybe that was just all though? Over the news.
Girl, there's a bully at high school. He will soon fight someone.
Right. No, it's one of those things. Like, he predicted it, 4 years before it happened? Like, it was pretty close when he predicted it. So you could almost see those things.
Like
the stock market crash. Like there's people today that say, oh, our market's going to crash or whatever. And then it does.
Right.
Yeah. Profits? No. They so just kind of knew the market.
The one that's 6 months out, I don't care. Like,
right.
a lot of people probably could have seen something.
Yeah,
in the
he's got inside info. But, he's living in that time,
right?
You know, I mean,
did you guys know that the term and practice of before making a big decision, I'm going to sleep on it. Like, actually, read it from that.
Wow.
No, I just made that up.
Okay, good. That was a good one.
You got me. I that's pretty good.
A couple of other ones that are super obscure. The Essenes, which are an ancient people in the Holy Land.
Yeah, this was interesting.
They were known before, and I don't know the details. You could look into this in much more depth than I did. But in 1934, 1942, twice in 1934 and once in 1942, he gave details of this group of people called the Essenes that no one really knew a whole lot about. And the details he gave were nothing that was confirmable at all.
Yeah. Right. So the Essenes were known to be a group of men.
Yes.
And then one of his prediction was that there was actually women and children in that group also.
This is pretty vague. There's going to be the people. They wear clothes.
Well, it was pretty much
hair and
no,
ears.
But it was pretty much known that they were just men. It was a group of men, and there were no women. There were no, children or anything like that. And then they apparently, do you know the date they went back and dug them up and they found actually remains from Essene women?
Well, I know that a lot of what he said was confirmed when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the yes. Dead Sea Scrolls were found in 1947, which was a couple of years after Casey died.
Right.
So, and I don't know the details of the predictions, but I had read that he made three separate predictions about details about the Essene people that no one knew.
Yeah.
But then they were confirmed when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found by
I wonder if anything confirmed and named them by that name. Was there another connection of that?
I have no idea. Well, they were known. I mean, they were already known by historians and so forth.
But. Well, the thing I saw was in the documentary I watched, if you're wondering, it's called The Other Nostradamus, which is Edgar Casey. Kind of they go through, talk about Nostradamus, talk about Edgar Casey and kind of the connections between them.
The whole thing wasn't read in a computer voice, was it? Those are the worst.
No, it wasn't. No, I wouldn't have been able to watch it.
Why do the people do that? Why do they not just talk on their video?
And I know we're giving Nostradamus short shift, but we'll come back and talk about Nostradamus.
He deserves his own episode.
One other thing that he did predict in a couple of different predictions in 1926, Edgar Casey said that he basically had... He was discussing the way that the currents flow in the ocean and the way they tie to weather patterns. And he predicted that there would be a radicalization of the weather patterns, like sometime around 100 years from when he was making the predictions. And he was basically describing El Nino and La Nina years, where the Gulf Stream changes and then it changes the entire weather patterns. And again, these were things that weren't meteorologically known at the time. And these are part of the reasons that people say, wow, when he went into a trance and some weird stuff happened, because he tended to say things that experts didn't know at the time and then figured out later on. And that was another one of them.
Yeah. Someone said that he's able to access like a universal mind or something, or I can't remember what they called it, but when he went to sleep, he was just accessing some, it's like a database. Like
they had a name for it.
The Akashic Record.
The Akashic Record. So how does that get a name? Like
I have no idea, but he talks about it a lot. The Akashic Record is this idea that there's an energy record of every thought, every action, every emotion and experience that has ever happened.
The future, the past, the current,
and it's everything. All just like this energy wave that you can tap into. A lot of people think that really what he's describing is, like, from the psychologist Carl Jung, like this idea of an archetypal energy that we all all tap into. All on the mystic side, people think that it's like he was truly psychic and he was powerful, and yeah, and that's all part of it. Like this whole new age thing, like you get crystals and they harmonize in a certain way and you meditate at a certain frequency and then you can reach the Akashic field is the whole thing. But a lot of people think that. And again, like a lot of people who are skeptics, like a lot of the skeptics that I read were surprisingly kind to Casey. Like even like on skeptic websites where I was just waiting for him to be completely thrashed. Apparently there's a robust enough body of evidence that makes people go, well, something weird.
Something was going on.
Like was going on. So, I mean, one of the main things that I see from the critics are a lot of the skeptics think not that he was a fraud, but that he wasn't psychic in any meaningful way. Yeah. He had some unique mental condition. And when he would go into these trances, he would just come out having thought thoughts and figured things out. Like if someone was sick and showed up, he just like turned into Dr. House from the TV show and he's looking at him and he has no idea. But when he went into his trance, he came out and he was like, that guy keeps itching his face and his eyes look a little bit yellow and this other thing. And I bet it's his liver or what, like these little things that people weren't seeing.
I just read a really good analogy for the Akashic records. It said it's like the internet of the universe. So like that the universe has, it's like, like, you know, that's a really good example, you know, and it's just Edgar Casey had Wi-Fi when we were all.
Yeah, so that's the internet of the universe for crazy people. Yeah.
Right.
It's all right there. We just
again, another reason for tinfoil hats.
Yes. So the Akashic record can read your mind.
But a lot of skeptics think that he was just, he had a really keen mind, even with his scientific things, like, cause he read a lot. He read things all the time. He studied things all the time. Like if he was able to predict things in the stock market, maybe anybody could have, but when he was in this unconscious state, especially since a lot of wealthy people were his clients, he really would have had a ton of insider trading information from talking to all these guys. And maybe he was unconsciously seeing a pattern emerge that other people didn't see. Maybe he was looking at science in some different way and he was saying, wow, you know what? I bet the magnetic poles could actually shift based on all. I mean, a lot of people think that he was truly brilliant in this weird unconscious state that he would reach and he would come to conclusions that most people don't come to on a normal basis. But like I said, even the skeptics are kind of like, not like this guy, like, trust me, they talk smack about a whole lot of stuff he said. They point out the fact that a lot of the people he quote unquote
he couldn't
cured,
cure his own cousin.
He couldn't cure his own son. His own son died as a child, as a baby, and he couldn't cure him.
It wasn't baseball spine. It wasn't baseball spine.
He was a baseball spinologist. But there's plenty of evidence where especially a lot of the healings were fraudulent and dangerous, and people didn't go to doctors because they just listened to what he said and then they died from a condition that a doctor might have cured. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff to be said, but even a lot of the skeptics that look at him tend to try to figure out some way to explain his hit record, like, because it's more than statistics should allow for.
Once again, 14,000 noodles on the wall. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say something, but.
Oh, go ahead. Were you raising your hand? I'm sorry.
I forgot. I didn't see your hand.
It'll hold your hand up.
I tried.
And by the way, I read that there were that he had given 30,000 predictions, but that the ARE had like 14,600 on file. So there were more predictions than that he did.
Oh, now you see my hand?
Yes.
This is what it's coming to.
I don't have anything to say now.
Hand raising.
So Atlantis.
Right. So he predicted we would find evidence of Atlantis in 1960s.
In 1968, he said that we would find evidence of Atlantis in 1968. And people think that what that means, they discovered a thing that they call the Bimini Road, which I believe is off of the Bahamas.
Is that the J? The thing looks like a J underneath the.
It's a series of stones, I guess, that are.
It does look crazy when you look at it under there. It does look man-made for sure.
They discovered it in 1968, and he said that. So a lot of people thought this was where Atlantis was, and this is what he was talking about. But the thing that I really wanted to point out about Atlantis, and again, this gets really crazy. He said that the Atlanteans used some giant crystal, and I'm forgetting the name of it. The Tuaoi stone.
What?
T U A O I. Tuawi stone.
I can't judge you because I can't even think that word. I can't even think it.
Atlantis had Atlantis, according to Edgar Cayce, Atlantis had great technologies and these crystals called Tuawi stones, and it helped them control energy from the sky and helped them control weather so that they were like this ideal community, technologically advanced compared to the rest of the world because they had electricity, they had weather control, they had all this stuff. But that they got greedy and they tried to control the weather too much and they tried to generate too much energy from the sky, and it caused massive earthquakes all around the globe and volcanoes, and their own country was destroyed because of tectonic activity that the Tuawi stone summoned.
Okay, you really embraced the Tuawi. You went with it. You got it, and you're rolling with it now.
Well, the reason I'm rolling with it is because it sounds exactly like HAARP theorists.
Yeah.
Like anyone, like the...
I just meant the enunciation of the word.
Like Tuawi. Yeah. It is now the Tuawi stone.
But the HAARP, the HAARP, we did an episode on it. But the HAARP array allegedly can summon energy out of the sky.
It was very Tesla-sounding.
Allegedly
well,
can control weather. And a lot of people claim that it is... I'm surprised I didn't find more people tying HAARP to Atlantis while I was researching this, because when I read it, I was like, oh, that sounds exactly like what conspiracy theorists say about the HAARP station. It's exactly what he's saying destroyed Atlantis, like this device.
So we've created the HAARP station that's going to destroy humanity.
Right. So we have our own Tuawi stone.
It's because a marine biologist is going to be studying some coral. They're going to find a Tuawi stone, and they're going to take it and plug it into the missing spot at HAARP that's already there for some reason.
Maybe it's already there,
crystal
though.
Fits. No,
maybe they found it.
That's why
they found the Tuawi stone.
Not yet. Maybe they did. When they find it, some guys in a black helicopter are going to steal the Tuawi stone, and Tomb Raider is going to be there, and they're going to plug it into the HAARP crystal hole that's sitting there waiting.
I don't know, because we got HAARP the other day. Remember the earthquake and the light in the sky?
Yeah.
That crazy thing? Yeah, we got HAARP for sure.
So actually, I'm going to punk our audience and say that some guy did allegedly find a tomb in Atlantis and allegedly find the Tuawi stone, but it's part of the mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle, which will be our next episode. So I'll talk about it there.
That is true.
So if you want to hear more about the Tuawi stone, listen in to Friday's episode about the Bermuda Triangle.
You're talking about the Tuawi stone on the Bermuda Triangle?
Or a smidge.
Oh.
A smidge.
Maybe. We'll mention it.
Maybe give it a mention. Just a whisper. But then, you know, and again, there were tons of things that he failed at. He said that Piltdown Man was an Atlantean colonizer who traveled and left Atlantis. But then Piltdown Man was proven to be a hoax and wasn't anything.
I'm just glad that the baseball spine community has something to look forward to and hope, because, you know, it's a real thing that affects a lot of people.
It like is,
baseball
yeah.
spine baseball is a daily spine. Problem that people face. So.
Can we start a like a fundraising thing for baseball spine?
Yeah.
Where a part of our proceeds go to baseball spine.
We're just going
to
sell a packet of baking soda and little jars of vinegar coloring.
Yeah, we'll find the... I want it to be legit though. Don't be making fun of this.
Like, we'll find out. They're in the records. If we contact the ARE, we can find out exactly what it was he used to cure baseball spine, so we can sell.
And we could put more
Edgar Cayce's cure.
Yeah, and we could put more.
I think Vaseline was involved too. It helped.
We'll sell it with a special like 100th anniversary edition of the Pit Game. It'll come with a free jar of baseball spine cure.
I really think we should start getting elements from all the shows we talk about.
We should buy it and play it and then talk about how bad it was.
Well, on our bookshelf, you never know, it might be fun.
That's true.
But on our bookshelf, we can have like all these old school games, like, you know, just from the eras. Kind of crazy.
I'm going to make a prediction. It sucks.
Yeah. So congratulations to Chad Thornton. And contact us, and we'll get you your crate of all the goodies, and go from there. So anybody else got anything else to say? No? Thanks, James. Thanks. Cut me off. Don't be a retard.
For a version of this episode or listen to a separate web-only podcast every Tuesday, visit SofaKingPodcast.com or find them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcast app. You can reach the Sofa Kings at Sofa King Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.